Franz Popp is the American Dream of Debian. He started out by simple translating of packages, has now grown to be the release manager of the Debian installer, if I say that correctly. Well, is that not the dream of all of us?
No.
He's going to tell us a bit about automating installations with this installer, and I'll give a word to Franz.
Thank you, guys. Good afternoon. I'm not going to be using OpenOffice or whatever you have to do the presentation. Instead, I'm going to be installing the presentation. And that is really a nice way to show the capabilities of automating installations, because just going to be done inside the installer, everything. For this I have set up in VMware a server and a client. The server is running DNS bind 9. It's running a DHCP server and it's running a small web server, Boa. And that's going to be used by the client to retrieve the preceding information from. The installation itself is going to be from a DVD image that's on the laptop. So let's switch to the client and let's use some boot options. Hey. So let's just reset the thing.
Is that quiet or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to use the auto mode. I'm going to be installing or using that server I had, which is called Fosdem 1, and I'm going to use a class called Fosdem 07. I'll explain later what this actually means, but I have no idea why it's doing this. It must have something to do with the different resolution.
Yeah, it's a closed source.
It's running 640 by 480, and I need 600 or 800 by 600.
Maybe we move in Marcher. It should do 800 by 600, but maybe if you move that from the loop, it might do something.
Or it has its own X server.
No, it's
sure.
Because the no, I don't see anything anymore.
Okay. It should do 800/600, but it could be confused by
it's probably two my
levels of blah blah blah.
It's probably my information.
Okay.
You had it working earlier, Franz. Try to do full screen again, because VMware is its own X server.
Yeah, the problem is that
you're doing out of GUI now, rather than the other one.
It was working earlier because that was the regular installer, which is not in this high resolution. I'm sorry about this.
No problem.
The thing is that I'm asking it to do 800 by 600. let's just crash those machines. Still 640. Can you get rid of the monitor?
Yeah, sure.
Right, okay, here we go.
I even have a mouse now.
Well, good choice.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas was
great. Okay.
The problem is, can I get rid of this toolbar? Because I don't think so.
Yes, it's a drag.
Just try it.
It won't. You can't make it smaller.
Go. Try it now.
Oh, that's fine.
So you're not going to get the whole the full screen.
That's
no.
Fine.
Okay.
The resolution is higher.
You want the full
screen. At least you see more now.
Yeah.
URL.
So URL. We should have run at 1024, but then it would have fitted almost.
we see something else, but not all we see, right?
We're going to be seeing the most important parts, so...
Okay.
I'll have to scroll down sometimes.
I'm sure
it's... They look so nice on the laptop. Okay, so this is just the first part of regular installation, fully automated, so it's skipping language selection and country selection. That's going to be done later in this mode. It will be loading the drivers to be able to read the CD-ROM. It's going to be setting up the network, and when it set up the network, it will be able to load the preceding files, pre-configuration files that are on the server. Normally you wouldn't use a CD with this method. You would install using netbooting, and then that whole phase where the drivers get loaded is not needed. So this takes a little bit longer than would normally take. The same steps would have to be done anyway, but it would have been delayed. So it's setting up DHCP now?
Yeah. Almost there.
Now setting up the host name and the network name, which is fosdem.net. All kept internally between the two machines, of course.
Questions
are I will have time for questions later.
Okay.
So, can everybody read this?
Yeah.
Well,
no.
Even if not, that's better. This was done just by changing the GTK configuration file on the fly, and it will, when it displays the next screen, it will automatically reset. So let's send this a little bit. Okay, so proceeding, I'm going to get rid of the logo a bit, which is pity, but the text is more important. Proceeding is based on the standard desconf functionality, which makes it very flexible, because the whole installer is based on desconf. So you are basically interacting with the engine of the installer. It's fairly flexible, like the rest of the installer. It's you can work with the modularity of the installer. You can use different preceding methods together with different installation methods. You can fragment your pre-configuration files by loading one main file and loading different ones of that. You can execute scripts, and you can use both settings that are in the pre-configuration file, or you can use settings that are passed from the boot prompt. The main people that have worked on this are Joe Hess, and there have been contributions from Colin Watson and from myself as well. The presentation is based on the work by Phil Hands, who has developed a hands-off installation method, and I will be showing you what that entails a bit later. And for Edge, Simon Huggins has added the option to do RAID setup using automated installation. There have been quite a few changes in preceding since SARI, mainly because there have been fairly major changes in the installer itself, especially the move of base, what used to be base config, inside the installer itself. has changed a lot that has also impacted pre-configuration. As I said, RAID has been support for RAID has been added, but also LVM and crypto are supported. You can format your hard disk with LVM or crypto partitions. The hands-off method has been added. The pre-configuration files have been made more readable because you can now do line continuation. So you can, if you have a very long line, you can split it into two. And we have added some aliases for common boot options, which makes it a lot easier to enter them at the boot prompt. Both the parameters I passed when this was started were aliases for longer options. And one other nice thing we have done is we've written a full appendix in the installation guide that explains how to use preceding. It used to be basically only an example file, and you had to kind of guess the rest from that. But now we have full appendix documenting the options and how they should be used. As I said, it uses DEPCON functionality. Most of the values that can be preceded correspond to dialogues that are normally shown during an interactive installation. But there's a few where they diverge, where you have other options for pre-configuration, or maybe just answers to questions that are normally not shown, but that do influence the path the code takes during the installation. And it's possible to set the scene flag for DEPConf. I will come back to that later. There's also, of course, a few limitations. Failures can only be set once. You basically set them at the beginning of the installation run. And, well, you can change them afterwards, but not while a question is being asked. You can only set them before or after, which makes it unsuitable for interactive processes like partitioning. Martin?
Has there been any work done on integrating FI's partitioning into DI?
No.
Don't do this at this moment. Because currently we depend on SF disk, and that is not supported on different hardware architectures.
Okay. It's really nice partitioning.
Okay. we can consider it for the future. It's a nice tool to work together. That's of course the alternative to this setup using Phi or whatever. Because it's you can do interactive stuff, we have other options for partitioning. Basically, you can choose one of the guided partitioning methods, or you can provide your own recipe how the disk is going to be partitioned. The one limitation with that is that you cannot leave existing partitions as they are. You're always going to format the whole disk. So it's only for full installations, not for resizing existing partitions or whatever.
Doesn't the keep option help over there?
No.
Okay.
No. You're always going to be formatting the whole disk. So how do you set values? You have two options. You can do that in a pre-configuration file, and then the syntax is owner, name of the template, the type of the value, and the actual value. Or you can do it at the boot prompt, and there is several options if you do that. The basic one is template name equals value. And as I said, you can also use a shorter alias in some cases. Like locale instead of Debian installer / locale, which is much nicer to type, especially when you have a French keyboard or something like that. So you have to hunt and pick less, because of course you're in BIOS mode at that point, so you don't have a different keyboard selected at that time. And you can prefix it by owner if you need to, and that's only required if you're not actually trying to set a value for a template that's used during the installation itself, but rather a value for template that's going to be used inside the installed system. So you can precede through the installer also the packages that are installed during installation of the base system or installation of additional packages during task cell. Well, there's a few examples below. The bottom one shows setting a value for Xorg. There are three preceding methods that can be used with different installation methods. You can include a precede pre-configuration file in the initrd that's used to boot the installer. You will probably either have to build your own initrd or you have to remaster an existing one to do that. You can also load a file, for example, from a USB stick, if you're doing XDmedia installs, or you can do it from the network, and then you provide a URL at the boot prompt, and as soon as the network is up, that URL will be the pre-configuration file will be downloaded from that URL. How does it get started? Either because the installer detects the presence of a precede.cfg in the root of the initrd, or because you pass a parameter at the boot prompt. And the first one is for network for loading a network pre-configuration file. And the second one is to load a file, and the path typically would be /cd-rom or /hdmedia. Depending on what installation method you're using. You can also ask a DHCP server to provide the link to the Debian installer will pass the vendor class identifier option to the DHCP server when it sets up its network. And depending on that, you can send back this file name parameter from your DHCP daemon configuration file. Okay, so that's the first part of the presentation. Let's let it install a bit more. It's now starting the partitioner. I've asked it to create an LVM. Physical volume, and inside that we're going to create the root partition and the swap, and there's going to be a separate boot partition obviously, and here you can see how that looks. You can also see that this question, which you can suppress, I've set things up so that it will be shown, and we'll show you in a minute how that was done. Let me just scroll down to show you the rest of the screen. So this option has been selected to be the default, but it's not been selected automatically to continue to the next display. What happens during preceding is that you run at critical priority, which means that a lot of questions are going to be skipped and default values are going to be used. But a lot of questions are still going to be shown normally at critical priority. So for those, you have to provide a value, and providing a value normally will also set the scene flag, and the scene flag means that it will be skipped instead of displayed. So. So now it's configuring the formatting the two partitions that we need. and after that it will do setup of the clock and the time zone. And then just before base installation, we're running another script for the second part of the presentation.
How do you set the clock?
The clock itself is not set. It's basically selecting if the internal clock is UTC or local time zone. And it uses some heuristics to determine which one is more likely. Setting the clock is something that we sometimes consider doing, but it's, so if you want to show a screen but still want to provide a different default than is normally would normally be selected, you can do that with this method. Instead of you can either do it in the pre-configuration file by first setting the value and then giving the option scene false for that same template. So basically that will undo the setting of the scene flag that was done with the first statement. You can also do it from the boot prompt by adding a question mark in front of the equal sign. So with either of these two methods, the value will still be set, but the question will be asked instead of skipped.
Needs confirmation, or you also have the possibility to change it?
You can change it, yes.
You can change it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And that can, for example, be useful for a localized version of the installer where you know that for English the normal default is United States as country. But you could use this, maybe not at the moment, but we should change that. You could use it to set the default to Canada or to New Zealand or wherever your distribution is targeted by including a pre-configuration file. Another very powerful feature is the option to execute scripts, and basically that's what I've been doing here. And there's two standard hooks that are always checked when you're running when a pre-configuration file is run, and that's preset early, which is executed. The command provided there will be executed immediately after the pre-configuration file has been loaded. So in this case, immediately after the network was set up. In the case of initrd preceding, it will be run basically as soon as the installer is started up. And you have the preset late option, and that command will be executed right at the end of the installation during the finish install stage. But you can also use your mainly the preset early script to either retrieve extra scripts or dump them in a certain location using cat or whatever or echo within the script to use some of the other hooks that are available within the installer. For example, this script is running from the user lib baseconfig.d directory. And I added in the preset early script a wget command to retrieve this script from the server and dump it into that directory. And basically, there are several places in the installer where the code says, okay, look in that directory and execute any script you find there in the order that they are named. So that's a really powerful option. And you can even use scripting to either disable standard DI components that would normally be run or to load your own UDEPs and install them so that they will be added in the menu, which is built which is built on the fly, basically after every component has been run to check if there's new components available. and they will be executed as well. So Phil Hans developed this hands-off framework, which brings together many of the possibilities offered by preceding. I will explain the first one listed there a bit in the next, well, let's call it slide, for lack of a better word. And that's what I did at the beginning. It also added the auto mode, which is a boot option. And that basically postpones the execution of locale chooser and keyboard chooser. Because normally, especially when you're doing network pre-configuration, or network preceding, you don't want the language question and keyboard question asked before the pre-configuration file is loaded. That kind of defeats the purpose. Before Phil came up with this implementation, you would have to pass values for those two questions at the boot prompt. And now, because the execution of those two components is delayed until after the pre-configuration file has been loaded, you no longer have to do that. And they are still being executed. And the auto boot option is available on all media for i386, for AMD64, for PowerPC, for Spark. But as far as I know, not for the other architectures. But if you want it, it's basically just equivalent to having the two parameters auto is true and priority is critical. It also implements a class structure, which you saw that I booted with classes is FOSDEMO 7. You can have multiple classes if you want, and each can do the setup for a different part of the system. So you could have a certain list of classes to determine the localization of your machine, of your new to be installed machine. You can have different classes for different server or workstation setups. So that makes it very easy to have a wide range of installation options while still keeping the amount of maintenance you have to do limited, because you're going to be focusing things in very specific places. And basically there's many other tricks implemented through clever scripting by Phil. If you want to see details or examples, visit his website.
Question: can the classes also be in a preset file, or must it include it after the auto command?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it could also be in a first pre-configuration file. But again, if you do that, then you're basically hard coding it. And the idea of classes is to have the flexibility to choose different ones for different setups. Of course, if you combine it with the option to retrieve the pre-configuration file from DHCP server, then you could program different ones at that level. But so okay, so this installation was booted with the command line you see there. URL is actually an alias for preset URL. FOSDEM 1 is expanded to the string you see there. It basically adds the network name that was given by the DHCP server. And then it adds the next part from a default that's set in the auto installation UDEPs. The dot in the middle is quite interesting, because that kind of anchors where other scripts are retrieved from. It basically anchors where the whole class structure can be found. So there on the server there's a classes directory under di edge, and the dot tells the auto-install framework, okay, look at that point for this additional tree structure. Who's this?
What's your name?
And because of the class FOSDEMO 7, there's several files retrieved from the location in the bottom line. So basically you see that with a very short boot option, you get a whole range of stuff that's being found automatically. And Phil put in the Edge currently hard-coded to allow flexibility so that you can, for the next release, we only have to change that hard-coded value and you can still maintain two separate trees for the two separate releases. Because we are probably going to change options again in the preceded infrastructure, which will make Edge pre-configuration files not automatically compatible with Lenny. So you will need to maintain that.
Does this mean if you install from DVD you do not have this option because the domain and hostname is not expanded?
Yes, I don't think it has been implemented for the file methods. Yes, that's correct.
And another one, you say classes, does this mean a host can belong to more than one class?
Yes, it can. Yeah. You can combine classes to define different aspects of the installation.
Yeah.
As I said, you can have a class that defines how to set up a DNS server, and another class that defines how to set up an Apache web server. And you can combine them.
Okay.
So a little example from the script that's used to drive this installation. It starts with sourcing a few scripts that are, of course, first retrieved from the server, not the first one, that's standard devconf. Then Phil made it possible to define new templates. The templates that I'm using to show this presentation are not available by default, but you can register new templates on the fly, which you can use to show custom questions, basically, very simply. And then the values for those templates needs to be set, and basically this is the first screen that was defined. DB input tells DevConf, okay, this question is going, I want this question asked during the next run, and DB go actually displays it. It is possible to combine multiple questions, and that's one of the nice things in the graphical installer. You get the password and password confirmation question on the same screen, while with the old mute interface, well, it's not old, it's still current, but it was there first, you will get them shown on separate in separate dialogues.
The script
that became 00FOSDEM? No, this is actually a script that's... 00FOSDEM is not a script, it's a directory.
And this one goes into...
And this is the pre-seed early script that's in that directory.
Oh, pre-seed early script, okay.
Yeah. And actually that script is not loaded directly, it's loaded by a pre-seed.cfg script that's at the top of this directory structure. And that has a loop to load all the pre-seed CFG files for the different classes that are included. So it's a hierarchical structure.
Okay.
Okay, so let's let the install continue. It's now going to do the hard work of installing all the packages. Let's use this time for questions.
The URL machines, is there beside HTTP something to call it? Like maybe TFTP, you have the TFTP server anyway when you do networks? Or would I just have to stuff it all into the command?
It depends on the architecture you're using, if it can be configured totally using using that. But you can also use static network configuration. The thing is that that's a bit awkward with using network, retrieve, because you will have then to manually configure the network before you can retrieve the file. But yes, any method that can be used to set network address will in principle work if it's supported for the architecture you're using.
Well, I mean to retrieve the preset file.
Oh, the preset file. That's
the URL chain.
Yeah, that's always done over HTTP.
Okay.
So you need a web server.
So if not, then with TFTP only, you have to stuff it all into the boot prompt.
Yes. But that's not a nice way.
Yeah, definitely.
It's especially as the boot prompt is limited.
Yeah. So TFTP would be nice too.
It can be implemented, probably.
Is it was supported by wget, wget is supported.
Is it or is it not?
The option preset URL is checked for a column slash slash, and later on is the protocol is get from the URL, and with wget of the wget you are able to fetch, and what wget supports that is then you have code to fetch other things, and as far as I know wget does not support TFTP.
That's a limitation.
What option do you need?
Sorry?
What option selects the to get the use the HTTP server to tell you where to download the preset file from?
Sorry, I don't get the question.
What boot option is there?
Yeah.
Enables the
It's a trick. A DHCP server supplies many information, IP address, and also a file name. And previous was you tell to the DHCP server this is a request from the Debian installer, identified by vendor class. And then the DHCP server provides another file name.
But what do you have to provide to the how do you enable that in region there? So,
you don't need to enable it, it's enabled by default.
Isn't that a little security help? That if you install the non-automated install on a network as a host DHCP server.
But then you have a problem. Then you're already lost when there's a hostile DHCP server. And you can't fix that making your installer more robust.
A hostile DHCP server normally would only destroy your network.
Yes.
Not your host.
Yeah, but
you're already under attack.
We do provide that vendor class option to. It will not just take any file name that's applied. It will only do it if it matches the defender class option.
You also only get the preset file while you're already netbooting and already loading the Debian installer. So at that point, you've already decided you want to install and that you maybe want to wipe your hard disk. So the rogue DHCP server could. The worst thing it could do is have you. Make you have the requirement to reinstall your system once more. That's all.
In the message that that PXE Linux will give when it boots from PXE, that could stand that you have 30 seconds to turn it off the computer or something before the installer is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
it's a different stage.
If you're going to wait for each one to do 30 seconds.
Basically, you want to be sure of your network if you're installing machines anyway.
Because
if you're doing large-scale installs, I would set up maybe a localized network disconnected from the rest.
If you're not trying to do an automated install,
no,
just to one off.
Yeah.
Well,
but if you have a DHCP server that tells you, okay, install me this particular, or run me this kernel. This kernel could already wipe you all your hard disk. So
not if you're not trying to boot from the network.
Yeah.
If you're trying to boot from the network and your hardware boots from the network anyway, then you've got a problem with your hardware and not with your DHCP server.
You mean this
did?
If you boot from the network,
right.
It ignores the DHCP server.
Use the option if it's fast.
It will still use it.
Yeah.
So if you try to do
We haven't had any actual reports about this yet.
The edges of carving knives as well, in case people cut themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing exactly the same thing, but I'm seeing it as a feature, not a bug. Uh-huh. Is there any limit to the weird, sadistic, wonderful things you can do with this?
I've got the question. How do you remove the...
Of course there are limits. Basically, you're limited by what the code in the components of the installer allows. But you can go pretty far.
It's the most important part of the DD. The DD, you can do everything.
Yeah.
How do you remove the 30-second delay from the start?
There's a 30-second delay.
DH client.
Oh, DH client.
Get parallel. Init scripts -ng.avian.debian.org will expect your application there tomorrow.
What you can do with DH client is you can set in a config file to time out after 10 seconds instead of 60, and it makes your life a lot faster.
Oh, we can set that parameter, but basically what happens is that it waits until it gets a valid lease and will quit the timer immediately after that. So it's not waiting for the full whatever seconds you've defined. It's only a maximum limit that will wait for the DHCP server to respond. And as this is all virtual, it doesn't respond all that fast.
I noticed that it's just plain HTTP. Is there any way that you can set proxy type variables if you're one of these unfortunate poor sort of stuff?
Yes. Yes, you can pass a proxy parameter on the boot prompt. I'm not sure if it's completely supported by this framework. It could be that it needs some additions in the scripts to support it. But as far as I know, the basic preceding script supports it. But that is easy to add if needed. We've done it elsewhere. I'm sure of that.
Automated installs are really amazing. Like, I can now fully reinstall a box in my hack lab by pressing F12 during the BIOS boot. That side is, and then I just like do something else, cut some wood to hit myself. But my problem is that I have to go back to the box once the Debian installer is finished to still configure a few things, things that couldn't be, in my opinion, automated by debconf questions, like installing the firmware for an ACFA scanner to the same, like, and it needs a few. It needs to retrieve a file, you need to modify a config file. What I'm missing with this automated install is a standard way that I will be able to fine-tune the system afterwards by not having maybe to write a full shell script to do so. I don't know if we can make progress in that side.
Well, you know, of course, that packages are not allowed to touch configuration files of other packages. That goes for the installer as well as regular packages. So basically, we're not allowed to touch configuration files. If you want to do that, you're of course free to do it, but you will have to script that yourself. The better option is to talk to the maintainer of the package and ask him to support whatever configuration you want to done in that conf. And then you can use this framework to set it up.
Yeah, I won't be able to fetch the VMware blob file to install it.
Yes.
That way.
If it's packaged, you can, using a script during the install, you can install additional packages. You can set up a link to a non-free repository if you want. You can set that up in your sources list in the target system, and then you can just install the package. With a very simple command apt install package name that will run in the installed system and get the package for you.
My advice is to look into the pcplate command. What is it?
Pcplate command?
fetch over there your shell script and fire up that shell script.
Any more questions? The install is almost done and the time is almost out, so on the other end still has to do SA Linux, which takes a while. Any more questions?
What about setting the root password? Is this done by the Debian installer or during the first boot?
It's now done inside Debian installer. And
so
using pre-configuration, you can have several options, including encrypted passwords. Not encrypted, but encrypted. So that's fairly safe. I'm now just using a place password root because it's not very important for this demonstration. But yeah, that's everything that used to be in base config has now been brought into the installer itself. I hope we can just wait for this to finish because of
the network, the auto install and doing a network install. I administrate a server that has a static IP address. Does allow me the auto option to configure a static IP address or implies auto a DHCP config?
Well, actually, you provide a solution for that yourself. You can use that hack you developed, which is documented in the appendix, to first configure the network with DHCP and afterwards force it to do static configuration. If
that's
you,
really ugly.
That's pretty ugly, yeah. But it's the only way can do it without passing all static configuration options to on the boot prompt.
And you can't take that from the preceding part. Can't take those from the preceding part.
The problem is that, as I said, it's a linear process. You cannot run a component twice normally. So after it's been set up using DHCP, it's not going to be executed again. And that's basically the hack that's been developed to force the installer to do run it a second time. And in that case, it will take, because you set one question differently before you run it again, then it will take the static values that are already in the pre-configuration file.
So by next year, we have like the ability to rerun components.
You're free to come and join us. Okay. It's now really almost there, and I just want to show you that we actually have done an installation and that the system does reboot. So, Rob. The timing was perfect without the delay at the beginning. Okay, so this script is run from the late command precede option during finish install. It says critical. No idea why it's critical. Because obviously not bottom way.
You guys
know. And there we are in the new system.